Recordings have started.
Thank you very much, Van. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the NCSG Open Policy Meeting on Tuesday, 19th July 2016. On the call today, we have Tapani Tarvainen, John Carr, Rafik Damak, Marilia Masil, Klaus Stoll, Aidan Ferdelin, Wisdom Dunkel, Carlos Rao Gutierrez, Robin Gross, and Ines. We have apologies from Ed Morris. And from staff, we have myself, Mariam Bakoshi. I'd like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transmission purposes. Thank you very much. Over to you, Tapani.
Thank you, Mariam. For the record, this is Tapani Tarvainen speaking. I trust you have seen that our agenda, which is rather short on the paper, but it refers to the council agenda for Thursday, which is the bulk of our item today, and then we'll kind of look at the public comments. And without further ado, let's look at the council agenda. Mariam, can you display it? Yes, thank you. The first substantive item there is that approval of primary and secondary liaison candidates for the customer standing committee. Do any of our councillors present want to comment on this? Is there anything we want to say? Nobody?
Sorry, Tapani, I'm just coming back from my vacation and I haven't looked at the agenda yet. Probably I will be able to comment later.
Okay, thank you, Carlos. I can just review briefly what's going on there. There's a package of proposals that was developed by the community in relation to the state stewardship transition. It calls for new structure-wide operational oversight, and the final composition here is liaisons. And we have the selection committee, where is the David Cake, who unfortunately isn't present. So I guess we don't want to have anything much to say here at this point. If David joins us later or somebody wants remember something worth commenting, we can come back to this. Let's look at the next one. Council vote on the approval of implementation mechanisms of the adopted recommendations from the 2014 GNSO organizational review. Would any of our councillors care to comment on this? Anybody else? This is something that is likely to have a major impact on us, so it should be something we'd say. I'm not sure, actually, I don't know what this vote is here at the moment. I have not reviewed it in the detail, but I should hope. Okay, Marilia, you have the floor. Please, go ahead.
Thank you, Tapani. This is Marilia speaking, and excuse me for my voice. I, like you, I also have a bad cold. Actually, on this agenda item, we will be discussing how we are going to proceed with the suggestions that came from that report that we discussed many times that suggested improvements to GNSO structure. The report was very controversial. After some discussions, the report was trimmed down, and the proposals that happened to move forward were put in a hierarchy with regards to which ones should be implemented first. And now we are on the phase of creating a working group that will look into the implementation of the recommendations. There was some discussion in the last council meeting with regards of what should we do next. Should we take into consideration that we had another discussion in the SCI on implementation of recommendations of improving the GNSO that just finished? Should we take into advantage the structure of the SCI, or should we create another working group? And there was some discussion on the list. So what we have is that the charter is now in front of us, and we need to discuss if the charter is okay. I think that the mandate is clear. However, the discussion will be inside the working group once it is created. The substantive issues will be discussed there. But I think that it's still on the table, the issue of the working group or how we should relate to other discussions related to genocidal improvements that have been happening elsewhere and how one thing relates to the other. I don't know if anyone has any other information or wants to add something on that.
Thank you, Marilia. Do we have a position on this? I understood the point of what's being discussed, but where do we stand? Is there some position we want to push here?
Yes, what we had discussed before, Tapani, during our PC meeting was that the composition of the SCI was not very good in our favor, in the sense that the group was created a long time ago. There are some people that were very involved but are not involved anymore. The level of attendance on the last meetings was not very high. And since, as you said, this would be a key issue for the future of the genocidal, maybe it would be a good idea to launch a call for volunteers. This was something that we discussed in our last genocidal meeting. We had a long discussion with regards to how the composition of this working group should be. I think that we did manage to make a point that the working group should be composed of members that reflect the composition of the genocidal. So no stakeholder group of the genocidal should be left in a weaker or unbalanced position. We don't know how big the group will be, but I think that we managed to make this point come across. The group should be balanced. So I think that overall our position, and I think that the way that is going to move forward in terms of the discussion is that another working group separate will be created for that. And I think that probably is a good thing with the additions that we made in the last genocidal meeting with regards to the charter and the composition that should be balanced and reflect the genocidal.
Okay, thank you, Marilia. So it looks like we will be needing new volunteers soon again, which is not exactly surprising. So I just hope everybody keep that in mind if you are interested in this or able to put some workload into this. It may be important. Anybody else? Marilia, your hand is still up. You want to continue? Is that an old hand? Okay. Any other comments here? No? Okay. So everybody keep this in mind and be prepared for a call of volunteers. Let's move on. Next item is the response to the GAC communique from ICANN 56. Anybody like to comment on this? See that more people are joining us. It's good. So do we have a position or is anything we want to do? We know how to do, our counselors know how to vote on this? Yeah, communique. Any comments? Marilia, I hate to push on you, but you're only one of our NCSG counselors present. You haven't anything. Anybody? Okay. Sounds like we don't have it. Okay. Somebody speaking? No? So what did the communique say? Let's see if I can open it up somewhere. Okay, you're uploading that communique, Maria. I take it. That's good. Okay, let's take a few minutes to review this for those who haven't seen it or haven't had time to read it thoroughly, which includes me. Okay, I see Kathy is asking what is the material on PPSI in the communique. The GAC highlighted public policy concern raised by the PPSI working group recommendation, notably that law enforcement and consumer protection authority requests for information from privacy and proxy service providers called for confidentiality as required and or permitted by local laws. Two, the PPSI's definition of law enforcement authority as governed by the jurisdiction of the privacy or proxy service provider might imply that service providers need only respond to law enforcement requests from within their own jurisdiction, while many investigations are cross-border. And three, that privacy and proxy services should not be available for domains actively engaged in the collection of money for a good or service. And because these GAC comments were not reflected in the PPSI right final report, the GAC advised the ICANN board to allow sufficient time for GAC consideration and discussion of these issues. Back at 56, that was the rationale, and then they concluded here that the discussions highlighted that most of the concerns might be addressed during the implementation phase, specifically law enforcement disclosure framework that could detail the appropriate authorization and confidentiality requirements for law enforcement requests linked to ongoing investigation. Such a disclosure framework could also possibly address processes for PP service providers to respond to requests from jurisdictions other than their own. And to a deaccreditation process. I'm hearing some pretty bad echoes. Somebody have a mic on. And I was looking at the deaccreditation process that could provide the means to revoke the accreditation of providers harboring actors engaged in deceptive, unfair, or fraudulent conduct on repeatedly not responding to LEA requests. So that was the PPSI point that I can see as the GAC communique. Okay, Kathy, you're online and you want to speak. Go ahead.
I'm on the telephone line now. Hi, everybody. Can I ask a question first, and then I'll give some background on this. How does the GNSO Council respond to a GAC communique? What is the type of response we can give, especially when we disagree with the GAC recommendation? In fact, the GAC doesn't agree with its own recommendation, and I'll go into details in a second. But what is it the GNSO Council can do, and what is it our GNSO Council representatives can do? What kind of guidance are you looking for? And then I'll help phrase that. So a question to our counselors.
This one I would like to pick on our counselors. Carlos, you hand this up. You want to comment on this one, or you have something else? Otherwise, I'll ping on Marilia again as the Policy Committee Chair, if you want to comment.
No, I can comment to this one. This is Carlos, for the record. Kathy, good morning. You know, this is part of the whole process of having a better communication with the GAC. The GAC advice to the board is GAC advice to the board, is not to the GNSO. So when we started looking at the GAC communiques, is not to give an answer to the GAC necessarily. It's to give feedback to the board and inform the board if the issue is hot or not hot, or if we are dealing with the issue at the level of the GNSO, or how far is progress being made at the GNSO level. So the idea, the general idea, is that the GNSO analyzes what the GAC is saying and gives comments but geared to the board. So they have our position or our information to react to the GARC advice. I don't know if that's clear. The problem has been that let's see, the volunteers who have dealt with these issues have been few and far between each other, because the issues tend to be very technical. For example, if I remember well, the last time there was a lot of privacy and proxy services, and of course that's Stephanie Perrin's domain, so she was the one who drafted some comments, basically, and the GNSO Council is thankful for anybody who comments on the GAC advice, but the idea is not to get into a discussion with the GAC. The idea is to inform, to make everybody aware what the GAC is telling the board, and if necessary or if useful or if we want to put a bump in the issue or so on, then our comments, the GNSO Council comments to the GAC advice are can be very useful. So it's a good idea if there is an issue that you are interested in and you want to give some feedback, and then the council will take it at its face value and discuss it. If they all agree, then bops, it goes to the board. Thank you. I don't know if that answers your question, but it's just this general framework that the communication flows easily between all groups, and we don't wait for the last minute until the bomb is about to explode.
Carlos, that's really, really helpful. And then the other question I would ask, and maybe Marilia or you can answer, is what's our time frame? Is this something that the GNSO Council writes together, and does this have to be written, like, this week?
Yes, basically yes, because, as you know, the board has to answer to the GAC normally before the next meeting. so we have quite a tight schedule. We have to within a month, more or less, to get together. So that's the next call. The next call is on Thursday. And if we have something to say, it's very useful to have it in the agenda for next Thursday and push it forward. Because if we wait 2 or 3 months, then it's all news. Probably the board has by then taken a position or said something to the GAC, and then it loses tactical value, let's say.
Okay, so Thursday the 21st. So the 21st is the meeting.
Right. The next call of the council is next Thursday.
Thursday. Okay. Tani, what order would you like? Should I start launching into substantive issues, or should we wait for Marilia?
I think it's good to hear from Marilia and Stephanie. I'm sure they will add a lot, Kathy, if you're...
Yes, perhaps we'd like to have a short comment from Marilia and Stephanie first, if Kathy's going to have a summarize of everything they speak and go through, put the main stuff together. Is that okay? Kathy, do you prefer that?
That sounds great. Thanks, Tapani.
Okay. Marilia, go ahead.
Oh, thank you, Tapani. Well, actually, I think that I may steer the discussion a bit to other direction. So, Kathy, do you want to go with your substantive question if you're still going to talk about the previous topic?
Sure. I attended almost all of the GAC meetings on proxy, in fact, all of them on proxy privacy, and talked with the people afterwards. What we have is the GAC second-guessing the recommendations on proxy privacy and second-guessing them in three major ways. Law enforcement, the Public Safety Working Group basically wrote the GAC's responses on this, and the Public Safety Working Group told the proxy privacy group that it wanted requests for confidentiality if three things. Confidentiality if proxy privacy providers at their discretion want to be able to tell their customer if someone's looking for information about them. And law enforcement wants confidentiality. That may be legitimate under national law, in which case obviously the registrars would, or the proxy, I'll just call them providers, but when we know we mean proxy privacy providers. if there's confidentiality under national law, then obviously the providers can't disclose. But if there's a fishing expedition going on, then maybe the providers might want to disclose that there's something going on. So we wanted to work with the national law, but not necessarily promise confidentiality. And that's consistent with existing law. The second thing, by the way, I'm on page eight, rationale. Because we can't talk about the recommendation of the GAC until you talk about what their comments were to the proxy privacy. So I'm just going to go through all three. The second one is the PPSAI's definition of national law enforcement is governed by the jurisdiction of the proxy or privacy provider might imply that service providers need only to respond to law enforcement requests from within their jurisdiction. And what the GAC wants us to do is respond. He wants providers to respond to requests from law enforcement that are outside their jurisdiction. I took aside the U.S. FBI and Federal Trade Commission, and I said, you know that means you're asking .org to respond to criminal requests from China that are anti-democratic, because it's a violation of Chinese law to have some of the pro-democracy websites that .org hosts all the time. And they said, yes, we know. And they know they can't order that. So what's illegal, no one's worked out the problem of what's illegal in one country is not illegal in another country. And this is a huge problem for registries and registrars. So number two falls. You can't do it. You cannot order registrars and registries to respond to something that's not illegal in their own jurisdiction or to answer to Saudi or Iranian law enforcement. Nobody, there's no precedent for this in the world. Interpol doesn't even require this. Interpol has a very narrow set of things it responds to, which does not include morality issues, ethical issues, religious issues, political issues, or military issues. They're asking that all providers respond to all law enforcement anywhere in the world. That's just not right. And then the last thing is they wanted everything that takes money to not have proxy privacy. And the fact is that many in the United States, actually all over the world, not NGOs, civil society, political groups, minority groups, gay groups, take donations. They take money. And we got 20,000 comments that said you cannot force a battered women's shelter to reveal their existence just because they're taking money. The fact is when you take aside individual GAC members who are very strident on this, they understand, they didn't understand the nuances they do now. So the big thing here is if you go back up a page, if you go back up to page 7, when you look at 2A3, privacy and proxy accreditation issues, the GAC advises the ICANN board that if the board resolves to adopt the PPSAI recommendations, it should direct the implementation review team to ensure that the GAC concerns are effectively addressed in the implementation phase to the greatest extent possible. I think if I were to write, you know, if we could write comments to the board, I would let them, I would remind them that we had 20,000 comments, more than any public comment period has ever gotten to a working group. And we did carefully consider the law enforcement thing, the law enforcement requests from the GAC through the GAC. But there was overriding considerations on the other side. And that you cannot use your implementation review team to change the rules that the working group has drafted and that the GNSO Council has accepted and that the board has accepted. You can't do it. Maybe there are nuances. Obviously, there are nuances you can work out, but you can't change the fundamental rule. And so that's what I wanted to share, is that substantively the GAC is asking for things that are heavily, heavily nuanced. They seem cut and dry. Anyone who takes money should not have a proxy privacy. But when you look at it, when you actually look at it, these are very, very subtle, difficult, nuanced issues. And I can't tell you how many months and years we looked at this and we evaluated it. And then a massive amount of public comments came in. So thanks for the time. Sorry for talking so long.
Okay, thank you, Kathy. Marilia, you're next in my queue. You want to career pick from here?
Thank you, Tapani, and thank you, Kathy, for exploring the issues regarding the PPSAI. My first point is related to the instrument itself. I think that Carlos gave a very comprehensive explanation of how the responses from the GNSO to the GAC communique work. I think that it's a great idea. If I'm not mistaken, this has been proposed by Bruce Tonkin in the meeting regarding the development of GenSO counselors in an attempt to improve communication between the GenSO and the GAC and the board. And I think that it is a very good instrument that maybe we have not made use of to the full potential possible, because usually there is one person that volunteers to write the comment on the GAC communique. And as you can see, the communique covers very different topics, and it's very hard for one person to be on top of everything. This person tends to be unburdened, overburdened with the writing the response. So usually it's not one of us that volunteers, although Stephanie has volunteered in the past. So if we believe that this particular communique has issues that are very important to us and we want to volunteer, I think that one of the things that we need to do is to form a task force together with the council that volunteers for us to be able to cover the topics that are important to us. Besides what Kathy has already mentioned, I think that two other things to take into account is the comments that the GAC presents on IGOs. They seem to be not yet satisfied with the back and forth regarding this issue with the GenSO, and they are asking the board to intervene and to do something to resolve the stalemate. I don't know exactly what they are asking the board to do, and maybe this is something that we need to keep an eye on. I don't understand necessarily what the GAC wants the board to do in this particular situation. Maybe other people have a more in-depth insight about what the GAC is thinking about here as a potential solution. And the other thing is the first comments that they present on the new DTLD phase. I think that two things are interesting. One of them, I think that maybe we are in agreement with the GAC when they say that, you know, there's nothing that prevents new phases from taking place, but they see with caution the idea that new phases can be launched, new rounds can be launched without completing the necessary work that needs to be done to assess the previous round. And I think that this is a common concern that we have with them. However, they also add a concern that maybe it's not in the public interest and public safety and public security and stability concerns would not be necessarily answered and covered if a new round is launched without the necessary answer. So again, they are invoking the idea of the public interest as in whatever way they want to invoke it. And I know that the working group on public safety is starting to develop discussions on other issues, such as the role of ICANN to protect children online, for instance. So the list of issues that the GAC working group on public safety is dealing with just grows. So maybe this is something that we definitely need to keep an eye on. I know that some of us went to that meeting with them. I think that we did not have the opportunity to fully debrief from that meeting, but maybe we should take the opportunity to do that soon and map the issues that they have been discussing and concerned about. Thanks, Stephanie.
Thank you, Marilia. And then Stephanie has been waiting to speak. Stephanie, please go.
Thanks very much, Stephanie Perrin, for the record. Obviously, I agree with the points that Kathy raised. I attended a meeting of basically the public safety group that, and Bruce Tonkin was there. The intellectual property group had written requesting action on something, and unfortunately, Bruce said, we will look at this in the implementation of the procedure, and I'm sorry I don't remember all the details of this, but I certainly remembered that. Again, in this, the compromise that was reached when the GAC was reacting to the fact that the PTSI had not met their demands is, well, we'll see about it in the implementation committee. Now, this risks, in my view, undoing all that excellent work that was done in the committee that Chuck and a couple of others co-chaired on the difference between implementation and policy. And they lost on the policy in the working group. We cannot fix it in the implementation. So we're not going to change the policy and stop. That was a primary decision that groups, whether or not they were using, they were accepting financial transactions, they would still be entitled to use proxy services. So I'm very concerned about this. However, our allies managed to get in there the words "to the extent possible." So my reading of "to the extent possible," taking the board-approved recommendations from the Policy Implementation Working Group, is that it isn't possible, end of statement. So strategically then, I wonder whether it is a good idea to raise the whole issue prominently, because in the implementation committee, we can say not possible. This is a policy issue that was decided. So I throw that out to you as a possibility. I know the Canadians, because I spoke to my guys, argued for it. I know that Graham Bunton, who is the co-chair of the Privacy Proxy Working Group, is seized with this issue. I think even Steve Metallitz recognizes that they lost that and they can't very well come around and try and cobble it together in the implementation part. So I just put that on the table. The other part of that piece of the GAC recommendations, insisting that the de-accreditation process provides the means to revoke the accreditation of providers harboring actors engaged in deceptive, unfair, or fraudulent conduct, or repeatedly not responding to LEA requests. Some of our best registrars are not responding to LEA requests because some of those LEA requests are coming in utterly spuriously. And as Kathy pointed out, if it isn't illegal in your territory, you're not going to grant the request, and you don't have to. So I'm quite worried about that particular clause, because the threat of ICANN enforcement coming along subject to a framework to be developed in the implementation committee and de-accrediting a registrar that that offers privacy proxy services, that's a real threat. So they may be forced to knuckle under. Bear in mind that at the moment there's pressure brought on them. There's no accreditation process, so nobody can actually force a registrar to do this. So I just wanted to make those points. Strategically, the way of responding to this is it's not that clear because we don't want to draw out this engagement with the GAC if we can cut it off in the implementation committee. We also don't want to have the results of the implementation committee annulled at the last minute. So I think we need to figure out our strategy here and discuss it with the registrars and come up with something that works. I did volunteer to draft that communique one time, and of course my expertise lies in certain areas, not in others. So this whole IGO, INGO stuff leaves me completely blank. So I was a dismal drafter of that thing. We need a working team to do this because nobody's got the expertise in everything. So we'll have an opportunity to discuss this, but I think we can rest assured that the registrars are equally exercised about some of the things on the PPSAI. Thanks.
Thank you, Stephanie. Kathy, you want to continue?
Yeah, just very, very briefly, and thanks to everybody for listening to this issue for so long. Of course, I agree with Stephanie, and I'm going, you know, this does have to be done delicately. That's a really good point. I think the idea that we have to kind of fight it out Trump style is not right, and if I gave that impression, I didn't mean to. I'll write something, but and maybe it would be useful just to kind of inform the board of what anyone who's been following the issue knows, but of course everybody's following, there's so many issues, we don't know who's following, that we got, you know, 20,000 public comments, and I'll put this all in, that we of course listened to the GAC comments, even though they came in 2 months late, and that we weighed everything very, very carefully, and that there are some substantive issues. You know, I'll go through it, that there are some substantive issues about the points that they raised. Obviously, implementation can't change the rules, but there may be ways to make it easier for law enforcement. And one thing, and I'll just share it with you, one thing is law enforcement can provide more information to the providers. If it is a law enforcement from outside, it's what they're doing now. If it's a law enforcement from outside, so if it's a U.S. registrar and it's the U.K. that's trying to communicate, sometimes the registrar will respond or the provider will respond because the U.K. has made a really good case for why they need the information. So more information may help. So I think Stephanie's right. I think everyone's sense is right that we should be informative and very polite and just, but, you know, clear that these are really good rules fought over for a long time. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Kathy. Anybody else want to talk about this PPSI or the GAC communique in general otherwise? I don't see any. Okay, Kathy, your hand is still up. Please stand. Okay. Now, since I see that David Cake has joined us as well as Amaru, let's move back to the first council agenda item we skipped earlier, approval of primary and secondary liaison candidates for the Customer Standing Committee, where David Cake was one of the committee members. David, would you like to give us a brief overview of what's going on there? Do we have to be concerned about this?
Sure. Can people hear me? Can people hear me?
We can hear you.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Okay, you say we can hear me. Okay, thank you. Look, I'm on the committee for the CSC liaison, the selection committee. I don't think we do need to worry about this. We were expecting there to be at least a couple of candidates for this position. There's currently only one. It's James. He will be approved as the GNSO candidate for that position, I should think. I mean, the committee is all in favour of him, just needs to go through the council. I don't anticipate there'll be any problems. There's still a bit of a process to go with the CCNSO, but, you know, in the unlikely event that they've decided to get they're really, really pushing for a man from Europe to be their candidate, I don't anticipate there being any issues with that. So we should be fine, and you know, I said James will be I think an excellent candidate for that position, and you know, I think an accredit to the in CUC and so forth. So yeah, I'm pleased to say that one's all going quite well. I mean, obviously, I think all of us would prefer that there to be at least two candidates for the position, given that was the process agreed on that we'd, you know, give a primary and an alternate candidate, but it didn't happen. So, you know, James is great. So CSC, no, there's nothing to worry about. It'll go straight through. It should all be fine. Thank
David?
You.
David, we can hardly hear you.
Oh, I'm really sorry. I don't know what to do about that.
Okay, thank you very much, David.
That's why I did ask. Can you hear me better now?
Yes, a bit better. Thank you.
So, was that it?
Yeah. Yeah, everything should be fine on that one. Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments on this? Okay, sounds like we have everyone reasonably well under control of motion there. You might want to touch briefly on the GNS organizational review. We talked about that briefly. Marilia gave us a nice overview of what's going to happen in procedural terms, but not much about who would be. Actually, we found out that we need volunteers for the working group that's most likely about to come. By the way, there's a bad echo here. Somebody has their mic on. So if somebody would like to comment still on that GNSO review, and in particular would like to think of volunteering for a possible working group, this would be a good time to or suggest someone or something else we can talk about more about that. No? Okay. Do we read the transcript or listen to Marilia's explanation? Then let's move on. The next item would be council discussion on the next steps on proposed modification to the procedure to address WHO's conflicts with the national law. Somebody want to lead on this? Kind of reflects on what we just spoke about TPSI. Okay, Stephanie, go ahead.
Hi, Stephanie Perrin for the record. As you probably know, I sat on that group, tried to write a dissenting opinion that got put in as an appendix and is rarely referenced. So did Chris Wilkinson. In my view, the procedure is an utter nonsense, and we need to revisit the policy. The policy for the WHO is conflicts with law was never developed through a PDP. It was one of the few sort of agreed positions from one of the early WHO is review team efforts that, indeed, some accommodation needed to be made to accommodate the fact that some registrars were in jurisdictions with national data protection law. So that was the statement of policy, and then they came up with this conflicts with law procedure. And when we reviewed the procedure over a period of about a year, we weren't allowed to touch the policy. We were just trying to come up with another trigger that would permit the registrars to get a waiver. And there are two things here that they need a waiver from. They need a waiver from the data retention requirements if it is illegal to retain data solely for extraneous purposes in their jurisdiction. And then the other one they need a waiver for is the requirement to publish the WHO is data. I would say they also need a waiver for the requirement to retain data themselves that is not required for the purpose of issuing a domain name. But no, but that's not in the procedure at the moment. Anyway, we went through this nonsense. We came up with this report. It still doesn't address the major policy problem. So my question is, when is the right time to put a motion to council to have another look at the policy? We will probably be told that that policy is going to be revised in the WHO is RDS WHO 2 process that Kathy and I have already spoken about and that David co-chairs. But that's going to be a long haul. It'll be 4 years before we get a new policy. In the meantime, we still have this utter nonsense where the registrars are stuck breaking the law. So that's my contribution on this. I'm happy to table a motion saying that we get rid of this and allow them to just on their own accord not comply, or rather comply with data protection law. I suspect that won't get anywhere, but it would make a point. Thanks.
Thank you, Stephanie. See that Dave, next on the line. Hello, Dave. Please go ahead.
Please go ahead.
Hi. I found where the volume control is. Has that helped?
Yes.
Yes, David, you found it.
Thank you. Okay, now I think, I don't think we can do the, what I think my impression when we discussed this issue at council was there was certainly strong support from the registrars to change this policy, and you know, I suspect probably we could get the vote. Well, you know, I don't know whether we could, but I don't think we can simply do a motion requesting a change. We'd have to use one of our new new policy and implementation processes to review it or similar, and go back and change that or so forth. It might well be worth talking to the registrars to see if they would be interested to sort of start that process. The IPC would naturally oppose it, but it's clear that the registrars think it's absolutely as ridiculous as we do, and that even the IPC were not, you know, that excited to defend what seemed to be a fairly ridiculous process. So I don't think, I mean, I think what Stephanie suggested, just maybe a motion is not something we can do, but I think there would be some support for, you know, trying to overturn this pretty ridiculous situation, especially as it's not really clear that it was ever intended to be quite this absurd in the original PDP. So anyway, I think it's worth thinking about doing something. Thanks.
Thank you, Dave. I see you. Kathy is next. Kathy, please go ahead.
Thanks. Sorry, coming off mute. Procedurally, I'm not sure what we're being asked to do. Wanted to give a quick background. First, this is not the result of the WHO is review team. The WHO's review team wouldn't meet until 2010, and it didn't go through a PDP because they didn't exist in the early 2000s. So this comes out of a task force at a time when the intellectual property group denied data protection laws even applied to domain name registrations. This is the first policy that even gives an inkling that it might, that data protection laws actually do apply to domain name registration data, and that was a huge concession at the time in the early 2000s, culminating in this horrible policy in 2005. But it was the first time an exception was created to the registrar contract with ICANN, and I think that in itself was a good thing, the process of beginning to create exceptions. So data retention only exists, the ability to get exceptions from the data retention only exists because this lousy policy on WHOIS was created. This has never been used, by the way, guys, because it actually requires that you have to be in violation of your national law and you have to be on trial, basically, for that violation before you can ask for the exception. I would want to find a way through our counselors to make sure that our ongoing concerns about this horrible 2005 policy are on the record again. I'm not sure I want to revisit the policy. There's far too many WHOIS things going on right now. But I would just like, you know, if there's a way for Stephanie to summarize or for all of us to summarize kind of the ongoing objection to this insanity, I think that would be great. But I'm not sure there's anything actually we should be doing at this point because we don't want to launch another WHOIS process. Thanks.
Thank you, Kathy. Dave, you're hanging your hand up. Is that an old hand? Okay. Stephanie, you're next. Please go ahead.
Yes, Stephanie Perrin for the record, and I apologize. I think I did say WHOIS review, and that's what I meant. I meant that early task force. Let's be clear. It might have been progress at the time, and, you know, we had the data protection guys and the Article 29 Secretariat in the form of Diana Alonso coming to the 2003-2004 meetings. You know, it took a major effort to get them to recognize that data protection law forbid what was in the contract. Nevertheless, we had all of the registrars writing to ICANN in October of last year saying, you keep telling us we can use another escrow agent than Iron Mountain, and none of us have had our escrow agents approved in Europe. So there are so many ways this thing doesn't work, and we now have the Schrems decision that ought to be preventing the use of Iron Mountain in the United States as an escrow agent for this personal data. So I think maybe, I don't see any other motion. I mean, we could write to council, but that's just going to be lost in the archives. I think we maybe if we put a motion forward, it's going to be defeated anyway. So maybe we put, because I don't think the registrars want to know who is processed, but maybe we need a motion that says we have just gone through an implementation procedure that tries to enact a policy that was not developed through a PDP. We need policies that are developed through PDPs. The law has changed. We are now in these many ways in violation of data protection law, and it has not been shown that this implementation mechanism works. Therefore, we should throw this out and allow data protection, or at least allow registrars to notify ICANN that they're in compliance with data protection law and not doing the following, X, Y, and Z. And it'll probably be defeated, but at least that would put on record in the form of a formal motion everything that is wrong with this stupid procedure. Because I thought we were going to go insane trying to make this report, make this comment repeatedly, and nobody's listening. You know, it was crazy making. So anyway, I'm open to suggestions about how to formulate that, but I think a motion is required.
Thank you, Stephanie. Any other points here? I must say that I'm kind of surprised when I'm looking at this that it's utterly impossible from the European data protection regime point of view that to do it the way they propose, but we'll see how it works out. It'd be interesting to actually try to get some European registrar to get the local national data protection commissioner or council to rule on that kind of thing. But any others on this subject? No? Okay, moving on. The next item is the proposed schedule for ICANN 57. Do we have anything we want to say about that? Seems everybody is happy with whatever I can decide about the schedule now. Okay, Marilia, please go ahead.
Thanks, Tapani. Actually, I'm trying to take a look at the board. It was open in front of me, but not see it here open right now. What I remember from my memory is that they slightly changed the days of the meeting and the format. For instance, today will now be on Sunday. My feeling is that is not that much space for GNSO discussions in this meeting, and I'm trying to open the table without success, but I'm sure that you can see a link there. I don't have particular concerns about that, but since it's different from meeting A, maybe it would be a good idea to take a look at it. It's not that meeting C would just come back to the format of meeting A. It's slightly different, so if we have observations to make with regards to how the days have been distributed and so on, that would be a good idea to convey these concerns. And they are trying to choose one of the PDPs that we have active in the GNSO right now to give them more time for discussion on day one, if I'm not mistaken. So if we have views and preferences on that would be a good idea as well. I know that the new GTLD subsequent procedure chair sent to the mailing list a doodle for us to know, to signal if we would be free to meet on that day or not. But if we have preferences, it would be good to know as well. So, yeah, you can see on screen now.
Thank you, Marilia. Any other comments on this?
And just a reminder that there is a questionnaire on meeting B that has been circulated, at least in the GENESO list. So if we have particular concerns as well, I know that some of us did not answer the questionnaire yet, like me. So I intend to respond it if we have concerns with regards to how meeting B took place or things that could be improved. It would be good to capture that on the questionnaire as well.
Okay, thank you, Marilia. I have Carlos next. Thank you. Carlos, please go ahead.
Thank you, Tapani. This is Carlos. Thank you, Marilia. I was very disappointed about the questionnaire. I mean, you can answer it in about 5 seconds. And I complained loudly about it, and the chair of the GNSO Council did so as well. So I expect that there will be a deeper discussion in the Council to prepare our feedback, or at least that's what the exchange I had with James Bladel. So I really recommend, I guess at some point we will ask everybody to give, everybody related to the GNSO to give their feedback, better comments, etc. There was a very good feedback session. I don't know if everybody could follow it. It's really worthwhile looking at the transcript of the feedback session, and I'm sure that we will be discussing a more structured feedback in the Council over the next few weeks, maybe between this and the next call. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carlos. So you will be having a lively discussion about this in the Council. Anybody else want to comment? No? Okay. Seems we've covered the agenda at this point. Let's have a look at the public comments that are pending. There are quite a few, but I'm not sure how many of these are of interest to us. I'll just go them in order. Please comment if you have anything to say or think we should. The first is the proposed amendment to base new GTLD registry agreement deadline tomorrow. Somehow I suspect if we wanted to say something about that, we should have decided about that earlier on, but any comments? No? Next one is ICANN Fellowship Program Application Process Review. Deadline next week, Friday, no, Wednesday, Thursday. Yeah. Anybody want to comment on fellowship program? No? Okay. If I go too fast, don't hesitate to raise your hand and return to something you didn't see on the call. We are draft PTI Articles of Incorporation, where we have till end of next week. Comments on that? No? Reference label generation rule sets for the second level. Anybody finds this that's commenting? No? Okay. PTI governance documents. Well, we have a little more than 2 weeks. Still have no consensus to anybody. And draft PTI bylaws. Nobody has any interest in PTI, it seems. Okay, Marilia, please go ahead.
Hi, Tapani. I waited until you read all the public comments on PTI. Well, clearly that is the focus of our agenda in the next month or so, and it's an important issue that I know some people are following in our community closely. So I think that maybe what we do is take a look at the three public comments and develop one document that we can use different parts of it to the different comments that we have in front of us. Not to do three different calls, but to assemble a working team that will work on PTI and related documents and public comments on the next month. I think that instead of trying to mobilize people three times, that will be a smarter way to get organized. For that, I think that it's the major issue for us.
Okay, thank you, Marilia. So we should bundle the PTI stuff together and to work on that. I see Matthew, have your hand up.
Yes, thanks, Tapani. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Perfect. I agree with Marilia. One of the challenges that we have, well, it's not really a challenge, but in a way, I suppose it's a blessing, I'm not quite sure, is that the working group that's involved, so the CWG that's involved in the PTI work, as well as the Implementation Oversight Task Force, which is a subset of the CWG, are in a way working in parallel to these public comment periods. So issues that we might raise were we just having a public comment period and there was no work being done in parallel to it are being addressed in the meetings of the CWG. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't put comments in. It's just that I think that doing it as a group, as Marilia said, probably makes a lot more sense. At the moment, we are discussing a range of issues that is involving outside counsel and also ICANN illegal, ranging from how do we accurately and appropriately describe the purpose of the post-transition IANA subsidiary to a whole range of other somewhat arcane but important factors. So that's just to say that some of the issues that we might raise will already be and have been addressed by the time the public consultation period closes, but I think it would be worthwhile for us, and I'm happy to start that process to raise a number of issues that are related to the three public consultations and circulate those by the end of the week. That would hopefully give us some time, at least some time, to consider those issues and possibly add others before the first deadline on the 31st. Thanks.
Thank you, Matthew. Anybody else on this? So, sounds like we have a plan, and our policy committee co-chairs are on that, so leave it in your capable hands. Any other comments on PTI? No? Okay. Lots of work to be done, but no need to discuss it at the moment. Let's look at the remaining public comments in the list. There's a public comment on proposed amendment to .com registry agreement. That's 3 weeks or so to go. Any comments? No? Okay. Modifications to GNSO operating procedures relating to motions and to the chair and vice chair elections. Okay, Amr, I see your hand up. Please go ahead. We can't hear you, Amr. There's something. It's basically impossible to make out what you're saying, Amr. Your audio is breaking down all the time, like chopping three words out of four. Okay, we'll wait for Amr to type his comment. Maybe while waiting, we can let David speak. You have your hand up next. Dave, go ahead.
Okay. this was about the vice chair elections. I wasn't going to talk about the modifications to GNSO procedures. Amma will have to talk about that. I was going to say, though, this is probably an opportune moment to mention that. So, Amma and I have been asked to talk to the NCPH or to the CSG about NCPH procedures internally for vice chair and board seat. I just wanted to say that didn't happen in Helsinki. We sort of planned to, but we were all very busy. And I think Marilyn Cade was the person sort of mostly trying to do the organisation. But I did get a chance to sit down with Wolf Ulrich and have a sort of initial discussion. So we'll probably be putting something out about that this week and discuss the sort of issues, which is, as I said, essentially that, say, with vice chair, we're mostly sort of happy with a loose alternation with the sort of proviso that it's, you know, actually realistic that each stakeholder group might not necessarily want to stick with a strict alternation. But we both sort of want some way to basically make that vice chair not the person we just like the most from the other stakeholder group. And we talked a bit about selecting the board chair and thinking that we need to start that as some sort of probably the way the board seat for the House, and probably the way that the direction we're leaning in that is some sort of House-wide sort of expression of interest or nomination process before we sort of get down to the each rather than two separate stakeholder group ones. So at least we get some idea of the feelings the other side has before we charge into an election, and the NCA is included and a few other reasons. So just to let you know, has been actual progress on that. We'll let you know what we come up with soon, but not much. We're still, we've all been a bit busy. That's it.
Okay, thank you, Dave. Amber, your audio is working. Let's try it anyway.
So.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I hope so. Can you hear me? I can hear my own echo.
We
hope you guys can hear
me.
We can
hear you twice. There's still an echo going on.
When I play them all in. I just wanted to say that this public comment period is in response to an SCI project, and it started in the aftermath of the last Dublin Council chair elections, and what it does is it just sort of spells out procedures to hold the council chair and vice chair elections. And in the event that another failed election occurs, there are new steps that are being recommended to follow to make sure that the council has the opportunity to proceed to a second round of elections in a clear way that is fairly predictable and will also not consume too much time and effort and take away time from the council to conduct its normal business. I think they're very nuanced and very well thought out recommendations. I mean, and the modifications to the procedures are very well thought out. And so I'm personally fine with them. But there are a few things that we need to, as a stakeholder group, be aware of. Because one of the changes that is happening is that they're sort of fixing the schedule for the GNSO council elections depending on when the actual annual general meeting will take place. And the reason why they're doing this is because another change in the operating procedures is being recommended, which is to allow incoming councillors to be eligible for chair elections. And the reason why I say this is important to the NCSG, because it may require us to rethink our own election timetable in the future in the event that we have an incoming councillor who may be eligible or desirable to hold the position of the council chair. So this is something that we need to be aware of. Right now, currently, I believe the NCSG completes its elections fairly later than any of the other stakeholder groups and constituencies. If we continue to hold our elections at the same times we normally do, our incoming councillors won't be appointed in time or elected in time to participate. So I just wanted to flag this one issue. But apart from that, I think it's a fairly good proposal, and I would recommend people who are interested to take a look at this. I'm the NCUC representative on the SCI, and I shared this on the NCUC list a while back. There were a few comments. If anyone has more, please feel free to comment on the forum or reach out to me with questions either on list or privately. I'm happy to help. Thanks.
Thank you, Amr. I might note that we are already pushing our elections about 10 days earlier this year because of ICANN insisted on knowing the new councillors earlier, and I'm not sure if it's actually early enough for this purpose already. But yes, definitely something to keep in mind. Anybody else? No other comments on the chair vice chair election process. Okay. Okay, there's one more public comment period closing at mid-August. Proposed measures for letter two character ASCII labels to avoid confusion with corresponding country codes. Do and we have any interests in this? No. Okay. See that we have a question about when our elections are, and already response to that as well. So the nomination big period begins at the beginning of August, and elections mid-August, results in the beginning of September. Okay, any other business? That's the end of our formal agenda. Okay, Amr, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Tapani. This is Amr again. I just wanted to flag one more thing that was not on the agenda. I'm not sure if folks are aware or not, but there is a call for volunteers with a deadline on the 22nd, which is in 3 days, for a group that will review the GNSO operating procedures to sort of begin to factor in the new post-transition bylaws and you know the GNSO's role in the empowered community and so on. And I was just wondering if there's anyone on top of this. And I plan on volunteering for this group, but the request was for GNSO counselors to also nominate or bring volunteers in from their own stakeholder groups and constituencies. So I think it's important that the NCSG is involved in this as and everyone who has an interest to be able to volunteer. So we may need to just flag this on list and make sure that everyone is aware of this. We only have 3 more days for the deadline for volunteers, and I'd be happy to send an email into the council list with a list of volunteers of people who are interested, assuming there is interest. Thanks.
Thank you, Amr. That's a very good point. We do need volunteers for that. I see. Kathy, you have your hand up.
Hi. I was going to switch topics a bit, so if anybody wanted to volunteer for Amr, let me pause for that.
Sounds like we'll have to wait for volunteers on the mailing list, so...
Okay. I wanted to find out who on this call is a member of the Rights Protection Mechanism Working Group, and because we're about to really start. It's been a little quiet on the ramp up, but we're about to really start diving into some substantive stuff, and wanted to know, you know, we should really be kind of pulling together. And also, if anybody wants to join the Rights Protection Mechanism Working Group, we could really use some more people from non-commercial. There's a ton of people from IPC, as you can imagine. So, Tapani, if you don't mind, I'm going to ask everybody, if you're on the Rights Protection Mechanism Working Group as a member, as kind of an active participant, could you just raise your hand or click check or something?
Yeah, check the status flag there that you are agree rather than raising your hand, please.
I know everybody's on pause and probably doing other things too, but...
Okay, I might know that I'm an observer on the list, but not an active participant.
Okay.
I see Kathy and Robin, and that's all.
Yeah. This is one of the big three working groups, policy development process working groups. We need more people. Just letting you know, Robin and I are not going to be able to fight enormous amounts of people on the other side to create fair and balanced policies without more people. So it's really cool stuff, actually. It's really fun stuff fighting for fair use and free speech and free expression and due process. So my call for more people to join, our next meeting is tomorrow at noon, and I'll be chairing that. Thanks. Thanks, Stefani.
Okay, it seems we have at least one new volunteer and a couple of inactive members admitting their prep membership here, so maybe to become more active. And any other comments or issues or anything on this or anything else? Okay, so we'll have to call for volunteers for a couple of more groups. And of course, Kathy and Amory, you're most welcome to call for volunteers on your own in the mailing list as well, encouraging people to join. But any other business, or shall we conclude this call? I'll note, okay, one more business. Within 40 minutes or so, there will be another call about the future of CCWG, which Robin is pulling out. So anybody interested in that, I hope you'll come back, but we'll have a half an hour break here before that. Okay. So thank you, everybody. And you can stop the recording.
Thanks, Tapani. Great meeting.
You're welcome. Well, one, you may now stop the recording. Thank you.